This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are spending today talking about the deadly mass shooting in Highland Park on Independence Day during a parade. Police have a 22-year-old man in custody. He's accused of climbing on a rooftop and firing shots during the parade. At least six people were killed, including Jackie Sundheim, who's a teacher at a synagogue, and 78-year-old Nicholas Toledo, who was up from Mexico visiting his children and grandchildren. About two dozen other people were wounded. As we've done after previous traumatic incidents, we asked Cynthia Lubin-Langtu, a professor in the Department of Clinical Psychology at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, to join us to talk about helping us and our children in particular cope with tragedies like this. Professor Langtu, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me back for this important conversation that unfortunately hits really close to home.
So Dr. Langtu, I mean, witnessing something like this has got to be terrifying. We've been speaking with Rick Atterbury earlier in the show. What would you advise anyone who saw the carnage or ran from the shooting to do today and this week?
Yeah, thank you so much. And I so appreciate you telling your story, Mr. Atterbury, how powerful it was to sit and listen to that. And so I want to talk today, and I want to remind listeners that I'm both a clinical and a community psychologist, right? So I want to talk to adults, children, but also first responders and you, the media, and to communities about how to respond. So I would say yesterday was so shocking, and we all sat and watched as it unfolded. For those who experienced it directly, I want them to pay attention to three main markers: sleeping, eating, and movement, and any big differences for them. Notice what's happening in their body and if they're having any differences in these areas. And particularly for children, there were so many children that were there. I would say for parents and loving adults to pay attention to their play. Is it more violent? Is it more scary? Is it any different? And to see if those are markers that their child is having significant issues. I would say offer space to talk about whatever feelings are coming up, that there are no wrong feelings around this, but that whatever feelings come up, that there are community and family and loving spaces to be able to talk about all feelings for adults, children, and communities, and providing those spaces.
You mentioned children, and I'm glad you did, because obviously parades are places that draw a lot of children. Sometimes it can be hard to get children to open up, though, about things they've experienced, particularly traumatic things. Do you have suggestions for getting children to open up, to feel safe talking about what they might have witnessed?
Yeah, absolutely. So providing safe spaces that feel normal and to them to do so. So places where they would have had those conversations. So sometimes, you know, when they're going to sleep and the lights are off, you know, having conversations then when their guard is down, or in the car, or in their play. They might not have language, words to use to share what's happening for them, but they might show you in their play. And I always say this, right? We think about play as important for younger children, which it is. So getting down on the floor and playing Legos with them or a card game. But for our teens and our older teens as well, that play is a great space for them to be able to talk. So over Uno or a game of Quicks is a great space to have some of those conversations that they might not have otherwise.
After people fled from the scene after the shooting, police ordered them to shelter in place for hours. It was 8 hours until the alleged perpetrator was caught. The downtown area was lined with empty lawn chairs, store windows shattered, armored vehicles driven by the police and FBI. Can you talk about the experience of that and how that can affect people separately from the actual incident itself?
The sheltering in place. Well, I guess it depends on with whom they were sheltering, right? Did it feel like a space, a safe, familiar environment? Was it a different environment for them? I think obviously in the wake of what was happening that first responders were doing their very best. And so I think that understanding that they were doing their very best to safeguard the community can be helpful in reflection, right? Even if it felt frustrating at the time for those who are asked to shelter in place and do so, understanding that in context, it was to keep the community as safe as possible, and that today they're here, possibly because of some of the measures that were taken, can be helpful in retrospect. So looking back at what happened as measures of helpfulness and safety, as opposed to something that was meant to harm them, can be helpful in contextualizing having to shelter in place at a time that was obviously devastating and difficult.
One of the members of our text messaging group, Marlene, wrote us to say, no one can feel safe under these circumstances. Random violence on a practically daily basis. We mentioned earlier that there have been more than 300 mass shootings in the U.S. so far this year. Rick, let me ask you, after what you experienced yesterday, are you going to be thinking twice about mass public gatherings, parades, concerts, that sort of thing?
I think so. We had that conversation this morning. My wife and I did. Our grandchildren live down in Evanston, and it would be conceivable. They were out of town this weekend, but it would be conceivable that they'd come up here to go to our parade Evanston is a wonderful parade that they might have gone to. So I'm more concerned, for the grandchildren. From the time that I spent working with emergency management, I'm already, more alert than the average person. So we just have to, I think we're going to be picking our events very carefully going forward.
Yeah, I don't want to draw any sort of equivalence, but the night before what happened yesterday, so I guess this is Sunday night, we were fireworks in my hometown, and my wife and I were there with our kids, and we did talk at one point about, okay, what's our escape plan? Okay, we'll run down this street, you know, we can seek shelter in that way. This seems to be the new reality we're living with.
Well, we also, I was reading in the papers this morning, at least in three locations around the country, people at fireworks displays panicked when someone in the crowd set off displays closer to them than the professional displays they'd gone to see. Orlando, New York, and Washington, I believe, all had incidents of people panicking. So everyone's thinking this way right now.
Yeah. Perhaps rationally panicking, right? Given what happened yesterday. Yeah. Professor Lang, too, how about that? Do you suggest, how can people not lose hope when these shootings keep happening?
Yeah, hope is ever important. And I think, thank you so much for that piece. Finding the balance between being vigilant and hypervigilant. And each of us knows what that means for ourselves. And that means having conversations. How do we make decisions about going out with our families? I mean, I think everyone right now, given the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks, the mass shootings that have happened, are feeling overwhelmed or even numb to what's happening. So I think paying attention to all of those signs that there are things that are going on for us that we might need some help and support, right? So like I said, the sleeping, eating, moving, if you're feeling numb or shaky, that might mean that you're in need of some extra support. It can be really difficult to figure out the balance between that rational panic, as you said, or being vigilant, right, and taking care of your family, and being hypervigilant and cutting yourself off from community, right? And if you're finding that you're not going anywhere, that you're making decisions that are radically different than what you did in the past, it might be a sign that there's some extra support needed so that you can go back to the space where you're being vigilant and taking precautions that take care of you and your family, but not being so hypervigilant that you're cutting off yourself and your family from events and public spaces that used to bring you enjoyment. So finding that balance and understanding what that means for ourselves is an open conversation, and I hope that happens in safe communities.
Well, yesterday was not, there was not, I should say, the Highland Park shooting was not the only mass shooting yesterday. There were six, 311 total this year. In addition to Highland Park, there were mass shootings, which, again, the definition of that is four or more people are shot. It was in Boston, Sacramento, Kansas City, Richmond, Virginia, and Chicago. And in fact, more than 50 people were shot, 7 killed over the weekend in Chicago. Cynthia Lang, too, I want to ask about empathy and processing this news. I was texting with some friends yesterday. Some of us were, because this hits so close to home, very interested in sharing it. One of them said, you know what, I'm going to mute this conversation for today. I can't handle any more of these conversations for now. How do we strike that balance of, you know, processing information like this, as well as empathy for the mass violence that's so common all over this country?
Right. This is a conversation that I had with my students at the Chicago School all summer as I was teaching, because so much was happening. I think that caring for ourselves and making sure that we're balanced and centered so that we can take information in, if we're consistently numb and avoiding our feelings, it probably means that we're overwhelmed. So what is it that we can do? We can limit our exposure to disturbing aspects of the story. I love that the person you were talking to said, hey, I need to hit pause, right? They modulated that for themselves. Find ways to stay informed that don't overwhelm you. So if it means reading a story rather than listening, right? Name what you're thinking and feeling with safe loved ones, and do things that calm and center you. Meditation, prayer, sitting by the water. Find ways to be able to feel your feelings so that the empathy can be there for yourself and for others around you. If you find that your empathy is waning, it's likely that you've become numb to what's happening. But when we turn down the volume on one feeling, we turn down the volume on all feelings. So it's really important that we pay attention and get back to feeling. And that might mean seeking out some professional support as well. If we find that we're unable to do that by using strategies that we've used in the past to return to our empathy.
Rick Atterbury, I want to close with you today. Are you planning to stay in Highland Park? And if so, why is that important?
Yes, it is. And I think that we were talking about avoiding large events. I think we're going to concentrate on neighborhood events. We're going to concentrate on events down at the beach with the sailing club, things where it's a smaller group of people that you know, and we'll build back up. We'll go out and do things again. But to what Cynthia was saying quickly, I am concerned for the first responders, especially in this incident, because these were their friends and family at the parade. These are their neighbors that they ministered to. This, I really feel for the first responders in this incident.
Rick Atterbury is a resident of Highland Park who witnessed and survived yesterday's shooting. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your story. And again, I'm sorry for what you went through, but we do appreciate you talking about it with us today on the show.
Thank you, Brian.
Also with us has been Professor Cynthia Lubin Langtu, who is in the Department of Clinical Psychology at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Dr. Langtu, thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you for having me. Let's band together and take positive action, which can be healing.
Absolutely. And this is a story we're going to continue to follow this week. Within the last hour, there was a news conference about the shooting. More details are coming out. Lake County Major Crimes Task Force spokesman Chris Cavelli said at this news conference that the shooter fired more than 70 rounds into the parade, 70 rounds into the parade, that he had pre-planned the shooting for weeks and accessed the rooftop of a building. After the shooting, he allegedly left his rifle, climbed down to escape while wearing women's clothing to blend in and hide his facial tattoos. The weapon was purchased legally, spokesman Cavelli said. A second rifle was in the car, which investigators believe was also purchased legally. You can stay up to date with the latest on this story on your NPR station, and we will also continue to follow it here on The 21st Show. Coming up on tomorrow's program, Illinois Supreme Court Justice Rita Garman is retiring after 20 years on that court. She was one of the very first women judges in Danville in central Illinois when she was first appointed to the bench in the 1970s. She is retiring. We're going to be speaking with her about courts in general and her career on the High Court in Illinois. That's on tomorrow's program. Before we go, I do want to urge you to join our texting group. You can send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. As we heard in the show today, we ask questions about what's happening in the news, listeners write back. We use it on air. It does inform our coverage. Again, the number, just send the word talk to 217-803-0730. You can find information about that at our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can also subscribe to our podcast. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR One. Just search for The 21st. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.